You're about to listen to a message by Reverend Yomi Kasali of Foundation of Truth Assembly. May the word you hear bear fruit in your heart now and always.
Matthew 6, the same passage I read last time, and I'm going to read verse 24. No man can serve two masters. No man. For either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will hold on to one and despise the other. Listen, read with me the last statement. Once again. Louder. Read it like my people would in Japan and say, yeah. Not you. Say, yeah. Cannot. Shh, not may not. Say, cannot. I'm not an English student, but I understand that word cannot means impossible. Not will not. Will not is from your own end. Cannot means it's beyond you. May not means here and there. Say, cannot. Say, yeah. Cannot. Serve God and Mammon. Say, Mammon. Father, bless this word today. Let your sons and daughters hear the truth. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. You can have your sin in God's presence. The conclusion of Christ in that passage is strong. You cannot. This is the passage many pastors don't like to preach, and many members don't want to hear. You don't want to hear it. You are either going to be serving Mammon or God. We've got to get to the point in our walk with God where we decide who we want to believe. Secular opinion, Western education, different philosophies, or biblical position. Mammon, by the way, is a spirit that governs money. Mammon, I don't want to use the word demon, but of course you can infer, if I say spirit, it can be angelic spirit. It must be a demonic spirit. If I say spirit. So if you see people that are stealing pants, underwears of ladies, they are serving Mammon. If you see Yahoo Yahoo, the things they do, a man that will sleep with a cow, they are doing what? Serving Mammon. Because the things they do tells you who they serve. And in marriages, Christian marriages, money is one of the major reasons and causes for divorce and separation. Money. Money matters. Money matters. Either you are not earning enough, or you are spending too much, or you can't meet my needs. Whatever it is, money matters. Money matters. Oh, he's already there. Because I just gave them my sermon now to help me put together. Thank you, Pale. I mean, you're a great guy. Exactly. Money is a major reason for the rise in separation and divorces in today's Christian church. We have to face facts. Why? She's not making enough. And I've told you in this church, if you are born again means you are saved. You have met Christ at the point of salvation, at the altar, at the cross of Calvary. You have accepted him as your Lord, not just Savior. You can be your Savior to save your sin and not be your Lord. To be your Lord means to be your master. Adonai in Hebrew. Adonai, your master. To be your Lord is like to say he owns you. He owns you like a Lord owns a slave. That's why Paul says we are born servants of Christ. He meant that he's our Lord. He owns us. He owns us. If it's your Lord and Savior, the code you live by must be different from the secular code. That is my problem with church. I told you last week about being translated or not being what? Translated. It's only in church, Pentecostal churches, Pentecostal churches, That you have people that want to be saved and yet be unsaved. They call it grace. I wrote an article on the other side of the coin. For every side of a coin, there is the other side. They preach the side of grace that says God loves us. They don't preach the other side that says, this is my responsibility towards his love. There's a side that says God loves you. The other side says what you must do because he loves you. Oh, no, you missed that. So because he loves me, I have to do this back. Does that make sense? If you only preach one side of the coin, brethren, it's on the coin. If you see Nigerian Naira note, they have one side, the other side, nothing. Is it legal tender? Is it legal tender? It's no money. If one side has... Oh, sorry, oh, God forbid. Don't tell anybody this. What are the faces on our name, Naira notes? I don't know them again. Muta, my mate? Awola was there. Awola, what? You like money. How come you know everything? Is that what you're studying? You're an accountant, not banker. Hey, whoa! He knows everything. Okay, which one is Awola? Do you even know it too? And you're spiritual? I am spiritual. I don't know it, honestly. Me, I'm a Christian. My soul is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust in Naira notes. Praise God. So these guys know all the Naira note faces. If you have one face with Awolowo's face, the other side nothing. Is it negative? And then, no. Don't let them deceive you with these grace preachers. Is they lie to you? There is the other side of the coin of grace. You are saved by grace through faith. Not of yourself. Not of works. We know there's grace, but there's also what you must do to thank him for that grace. I don't want to go into grace preaching today. Because they are deceiving us. Listen, what I'm about to share with you today, I will rush it. After this message, you will not like my face. Every time I preach on marriage, I get crisis in church. Some will leave church. Some will stay. Some will say, "Reverend, it's too hard on women. It's too hard on men. It's too..." I don't know. Me, I will not please either of you. I will please God. I will say what is here. I will say what is here. We have to embrace truth even when it hurts us. Money is causing kata-kata in marriages. Why? You people are not born again. You are not born again. If you are born again, money will not cause these issues. We have to look at your faith again and your salvation. You cannot serve God and mammon. We serve mammon. If you see the way people talk about their spouses, it's because of money. Money. It's our money. It's my money. I make more. I spend. What is all this? Are you guys saved? Money. And I will teach you, it has nothing to do with who is making more or who is making less. It has to do with your salvation. And that will affect your relationship with money. With money. Because money is a tool that you use. Money should not use you. Don't let money control you. So in my notes here, I said there are many scholars and preachers as well who teach that money is not spiritual, but immoral. I disagree with them. I disagree. Something that's immoral means, in other words, it depends on whose hand money gets to. When he says immoral, depends on who's with the hand that holds the money. Hence, we should teach men to be good so that they can use money well. I disagree. There's a spirit called mammon in scriptures. Those people are too secular. The philosophy that money is immoral is that money is neither good nor bad. It's the human beings that are good or bad. So the holder makes money good or the holder makes money bad. But that means they're looking at the paper money. We are looking at the spirit called mammon. Do you get it now? I'm not looking at paper. They are looking at that paper. And that paper is the expression of money. That paper is a tangible substance that government will create to give value to items. That is not money. It's what we call money. But Christians call mammon the spirit that governs. Exactly. That means they don't understand that. Do you get my point now? You have to understand that our people are so secularly minded, they look at economic books to preach in church. When there's a Bible, I don't want to go to names. They read economic books to come and teach in church. Are you okay? Read your Bible. What does the Bible say about money? Not what one economist say about money. What God says about money. Am I communicating? Money is not immoral. It's not spiritual. Money is spiritual. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, called it mammon. You are saying God is wrong? Who are you to say God is wrong? How can he say God is wrong? God is not wrong. God can't be wrong. God is truth. God cannot lie. Titus 1:3. The paper you touch, Pedro, is just to express, to give something to be value. But money is more than paper. So in your heart, if you are worshipping money, is it paper you are worshipping? If we say somebody is worshipping money, do they look at paper and begin to do like this? They don't. But we say they worship money. There's an interaction. There's a spiritual connection, connectivity with mammon. Have you seen him been doing money? This money, money. So why do we say people worship money? Why do we say that? Because it's spiritual. In fact, the only thing in the Bible that Jesus ever equated with God was mammon. Not even Satan. You cannot worship God and mammon. Equated. Put them on the same pedestal. They say, you people do not to worship this and not this. And so he's destroying homes. Marriages are going through a lot of challenges because of money. It's very sad. Money is a revealer of character. Money reveals who you are. Not builder of homes. I hear people saying money will build a home. It is not true. It reveals who we are. Does not change us. If you want to know me, look at me, everybody. If you want to know who I really am, you don't know me now. The suit doesn't define me. Give me $100 million. Hey! The real Casale will come out. Hey! The way I walk will change. The way I walk, I don't arrive. Money will reveal who you are. It does not make you, it reveals you. We don't know you until we put money into your hands. Some people are here today. Today, if they make that kind of money, they won't come to church anymore. I will call them, they will not pick my phone call. And when they call me back, they will say, Reverend, why are you disturbing me? I saw 5 missed calls. What is all this nonsense? I'm busy. Anyway, I will send some money to your church tomorrow so you can come down. They say, hey, this man has changed. No. Money has revealed him. We don't know you until you get money. Until you're in power. Power reveals men. Money reveals men. All of you are abusing those corrupt politicians. If you get there, you'll do worse. Because you're not there yet. Money reveals people. You see some people that are very rich, they also be very humble. Because they've been humble with or without money. They don't wear it on themselves. They won't throw a swagger around themselves. Some people will be rich. Some people are not even rich. They are borrowing money to go and buy a car. You go and be buying things, living large. Money reveals character. So if you want to know who your husband is or your wife is, begin to check. That's the real me. That's the real me. You see the way the man is fighting. When it comes to the issues, they don't fight. When it's money issues, you see their bones, their head becomes strong. They begin to do over what? Money. And it's a demon. The thing just grabs you as if you want to die. Money. 5 ways money reveals man and woman. Number one, what we spend it on reveals who we are. How do I know money reveals me? Look, I just made an example now, DG. I get $100 million. No, don't worry, sit down. You see what I do? To know who I am, I have to pay my tithe. I take $10 million, I give it. Some people will say, hey, $10 million to church. What would they do with it? What would they do with it? Those pastors, how are they spending that money? I'm not going to pay tithe. When I was earning 10,000, I can pay tithe. Now 1 million, I'm going to pay tithe. So it reveals who you are. Somebody here will just go and buy a new car, a new jet. Somebody here will say, no, I won't buy a jet. Say, ah, 5 loaves, 2 fishes. That hospital, that charity, let me help the poor. And we're still living. I can buy a small house now. I don't have to live in a big house. Look at Warren Buffett. Look at the house he's living in. He has so much money. Money reveals if you have character or not. How you spend your money tells me who you are. For young girls and young boys who are not married, listen to me. You are dating him. She is dating you. Begin to check how he's spending the money. How much of it does he spend on the things of God? The man has never in his life bought Bible. Maybe I have never bought Bible. Some Christians are here that have never bought Bible in their life. The Bibles they are using, somebody gave it to them. I dare you. Have you used your money to go to bookshop to buy Bible? I'm telling you. If they don't like me today, you won't like me. If you can't buy Bible, how can you buy tape? Christian tape. How can you not buy Christian books? What is books? They've not bought Bible. The Bible you are using, they gave it to you 15 years ago. And the thing has turned, you haven't used to change it. Say, but pastor, we have phones now. Phones have Bible. Even on your phone, there are 16 apps. There's no app for Bible there. Take my phone. You see 5 Bible apps on my phone. 5 to 8 Bible apps. Different. But your one app, Baba Jebu is there. Baba Jebu is there. MMM is there. Why is there? All kind of app to make more money is there. I'm telling you the truth. Are you with me? How many of us have bought Bibles? Very important. How you spend your money, what you reveal it reveals who you are to us. Those who respect and regard society and family, this is very important for me. Because many years ago, the Lord rebuked me with this verse, with this statement. I went to church many years ago, and there was a rich man coming near me. And I went this way to greet him. How are you, sir? And the man greeted me. And shortly after, like 2-3 seconds, a poor man just passed by me. That one was greeting me. I didn't greet him well. And the Holy Spirit rebuked me there. It was at the security gate in my former church. He said, who are you worshiping? I said, you, Lord? You. He said, no. The man you bow down to now, almost hitting your head on the floor. If the man had no money, would you greet him like that? I said, why? How would I greet him? Why should I? Then he said, then it is a mammon, the money the man has, that you are greeting. Wow. The poor one just passed you, you didn't even greet. He greeted, you didn't even answer. If roles were reversed, this poor man becomes a billionaire, you will greet him the same way. Hey, if you see the way my heart was shaking in the presence of God, that every time you come to the house and do this, is mammon you are bowing to, not the man. Of course, I use scripture to comfort myself. There are riches and honor. Every time in the Proverbs, if you see riches, you see honor. Riches. Eventually, I say, well, God, you know, honor follows riches. It doesn't make it right. Everywhere it's in scriptures, riches and honor. Honor follows riches. But it doesn't make it right. Be very careful. Because we bow to mammon and not to God without us even knowing it. When you greet me because I'm your pastor, not because I'm rich. Not because I'm rich. Say, oh, he's my pastor. Good afternoon, sir. He's my pastor. Greet me for the office I occupy, not for the wealth I have. Because it can be poor pastors. When I was a poor pastor, you don't greet me like that. You don't have to like it, it's the truth. Greet me for the office. This man is a man. Not those people, though. No, they're men of God. They're men of God. Not those ones that are embarrassing Christ these days. Raping people, say they're men of God. Hey, I didn't say anything, no. I didn't talk, oh. Don't quote me. I didn't say anything. I just said people that rape are not men of God. I didn't say anything, no. You didn't hear me. You're a good man. Be lying there, you say you didn't hear me.
So if you go and say that's like that, you're lying. Praise God.
Number three, how we behave when we are broke and we have no money. Five ways money reveals a man. The joy of your salvation disappears because you have no money in your pocket. You can't come to church. You can't praise God. Why? I'm broke. So? I mean, there's something with your money. Some people change when they don't have money. The smile on their faces when they have money, you think is you just got a miracle from heaven. This thing reveals character. Whether you are really bad with money, you should. You know what Paul said, Pastor Pete? He said in Philippians chapter 4, I have learned how to both be abound and to abase. Any situation, you know what? God be the glory. I've learned it. It's a lesson we have to learn. I have learned. It's a lesson how to behave when you're broke. It's a lesson that it shouldn't affect your salvation or your confession. It's a lesson. It shouldn't. I have learned. Some of you have not. You need to go to that school. How we make our money and what we can do to get more of it. Some of you can go to any length to make to get money. Me, I cannot. Ephesians 4:28, 27:28 tells us that let him that stole steal no more. But let them walk. Let them do that which is good. There is good work, there is bad work. How you make your money tells us who you are. And what you are willing to do to make more reveals a lot more about you. Some people can do anything to make money. Anything. You see, let him that stole steal no more. Corruption. Stop corruption. But rather, let him labor. Every man should go and work. Working with his hands. The thing that is what? That means there is the thing which is bad. So if you're a Christian doctor, don't do abortion. Because abortion clinics make more money. So I want to make money. So there are good works and there are bad jobs. Do that which is good. So 419 is not good. Yahoo, Yahoo is not good. But they are working. No, it's not good. That which is good. So he didn't just say go and walk. He tells you the kind of work to do. The Bible is balanced. So you must ask, am I working? Yes. What I'm doing, is it a good work? I don't want to go there. Because some people are saying, I'm working for a company that make. Another day. Number five, if it influences our decisions to part ways with people and make friends with others. Now, this is one thing I told people that are close to me. I have never and I will never part ways with anybody in life because of money. Never. I will allow you to cheat me. But I won't say our friendship is no more because of money. A Christian will never do that. So allow yourself to be defrauded. Never part ways with people. They can part ways with you, but never. Oh, many people have cheated me. Many people have taken money from me. They won't pay. I don't mind. But I won't say, because of that, I'll part ways. It tells us who you are. Money reveals character. Now, what the Bible says about money, I'll rush it quickly. Number one, Pastor P, Jesus called it mammon. Matthew chapter 6 verse 24, Luke 16 verse 11. That's a spirit that controls money. It's called what? Mammon. Hence, our Lord called it master. Say, you cannot serve two masters. Two masters. Can you imagine? God called it master. Jesus called it master. You forget that word master is there. Hey, how many of you are servants to mammon? He calls it master. But I'm coming to marriage now. Who are you serving? You cannot serve two masters. For Christ to call mammon master shows there's a problem. Master. You can't even pay tithe. Master. Master. Jesus. I don't think you understand it. It's spiritual, Pedro. You cannot have two masters. I said, for the Lord to call him master because it had mastered many souls. It's important that the church teaches that Jesus taught and not allow intellectuals who are bereft of biblical truth to teach us about money. That's the first thing. Money is spiritual and it's called mammon. Number two, Paul said the love of money is the root of all. 1 Timothy 6 verse 10. The love of money is the root. Protect it. The root of all evil. Root. root. Every evil on earth, go and check the root. You will find love of money there. Most of the crimes committed in America, crimes of passion. A wife will kill husband because of money. Husband will kill wife because of money. It's the root. The word root is strong. Which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Love of money. Love of money. They've told us to stop preaching it. You can see how many people are flocking to places because of love of money. If I say in this church now, the next 10 days, we are doing money doubling miracle, the place will be full. Money doubling miracle. But you have to give me some. If I can double your own, they will come. And I don't know what they're doing. I'm deceiving them. You're deceiving them. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. All evil. Check it. Begin to check all the evils around. You'll find somewhere hidden under, there's a love of money. This is what the Bible says. Solomon says he likened money to weapons of war to defend us. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 12. Solomon wasn't talking about money. He said even money is bigger than weapons of war. Money is bigger than wisdom. Sorry, wisdom is bigger than money. I beg your pardon. 7 verse 12. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 12. So what does the Bible say about money? It's not just the love of money. For wisdom is what? A defense. Money is also a defense. But the excellency or the supremacy or the advantage of wisdom is that wisdom gives life to them that have it. Money cannot. You just missed it. You just compared money and wisdom then. You didn't say money can give life. You said wisdom can give it. That's the edge wisdom has over. Do you get it now? Number 4, Peter said, thy money perish with you. So money can perish with people. Acts chapter 8 verse 20. Number 5, the Pharisees are the ones that told us that there's something called corruption money. The modern day church have stopped preaching that. There's corruption money. Matthew 27 verse 6. The Pharisees say we should not bring corruption money into the church treasury. He says so. It is not lawful to put this money in the treasury. Which money? It's called blood money. Blood money, ritual killing. Rituals. People are going and kill, they now come to church. They want to launder. Now, this passage is what we call money laundering passage. This is money laundering. The chief priest took the silver pieces that he used to kill Jesus. And he said, it is not lawful, it is not right to put them into the treasury. Because it is what? It is what? These are people that are wicked though. If wicked people can even know that blood money is not going to church. Wicked people, they killed Jesus. Blood money. I mean, it's there in the Bible. That is money laundering. Money laundering means that you do a bad business, you bring the money to church to launder your business. And I said the blood of Jesus to wash your business. If I can put the money in the church, church will help me clean the money. Many years ago, I was traveling. Many years ago, one of those days I used to fly economy. I had a cousin who was a year or two older than me, but 3 years older than me. A distant cousin. I was in economy. We met together at the airport. And then I was going to London. I think it was a UK flight to Lagos. Then he just came to meet me at the economy seat during the flight. He said, Yomi, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? Look at you. I don't know why you are doing this. When will you grow up? Come to business with me. So I went to business class to sit down with him to enjoy the drink they used to take there. So as I was drinking, he pulled out cash, huge, like this bundle of pounds sterling, rolled. Said, can you see your money? This is money. You can make a lot. Please, I beg you. You are my cousin. We know some pastors are doing it. You refuse to do it. I said, what? I will do it. Oh, I want money. What is it? What is it? Tell me. What is it? He said, you know, the business I do was into credit card fraud. He said, we have money. We want to bring it to Nigeria. He said, we used to use some churches. Let me use your church. We just put in £20,000, £50,000 of those monies so I can go through your church and then you then give us back. We'll give you 10%, 20%. Let's negotiate it. So if the money that you... I said, credit card fraud. Yes. The money will come to our church account. Yes. I will then take it back and give to you. Yes. I said, my brother, I said, I thought it was good business. I want to do business. I can't. I said, no, you are not going to be rich. What's wrong with you? People are doing it. Look at your economy and your business. I said, economy is better. I will say economy. I left the place quickly, went to go and sit back. Let me go and see the economy. My seat was cramped. How can I do that? Money laundering, he told me many years ago. He said, churches are doing it. I should do it. That will make money. Now the numbers are huge. How can you? That? Because church account is not looked at. How can you do that? God's name. Hey! Some people are trying to know. How can you sleep? How can you pray to God? How can you not come and say, the Lord says, the love of... I did not do it. I refuse to do it. Today, I don't want to go to the story of where he is now and where I am now. If I go there, you'll not like it. The man is out there now doing nothing. My other cousin went to jail for the same credit card fraud. He came out of jail. The other one is now in Nigeria, struggling somewhere. And he's struggling. He's been trying to reach me. I'm not dodging him. So he won't come and give him that offer. I'm dodging him. Can you see? Please. Let me give you four kinds of marriages and money. How money defines marriages. Four kinds. Number one. Project for me, please. Four kinds of marriage and money. The Nabal and Abigail marriage. Write it down. Nabal and Abigail. You find this in 1 Samuel chapter 25. 1 Samuel 25. Pastor Pedro, this is a marriage where man worships money and the woman worships God on the behalf. Takes it to worship God on their behalf. Takes the money. Nabal, in that marriage, and there's some marriages say that the men are worshippers of money. And their wife are virtuous. In that marriage, the man was a worshiper of money. You know the story? David said, it was my people that was a defense to your wealth. We protected your assets. Can you please give us some small bread to eat? He said, no. He said, he will not. Who is this David? All these days, these servants that jump from their masters. That man was a worshiper of money. The wife was virtuous, darling. The wife said, I can't do it. The wife carried the money and some food behind the husband. You'll be seeing what some women do in church. Carried the money on behalf of the home to go and meet a man of God, David, to say, sir, take. What she took, the man did not even know. He had so much money. The little she took, he didn't even miss it. That marriage is existing in most couples, most homes, where the man does not see anything good in God. The gold becomes the god of the man. Nabal. Bible calls the man foolish. The wife saved the man's life for a moment. And David said, no problem. When she got home, she found out that the man was still drinking alcohol, still doing partying, still doing marrying. And she wondered, look at my husband. I won't tell him now. If I tell him now, he will be angry. Following day, when the man came down, the stupor was no more there. She now told the husband, do you know what happened yesterday? Do you know you're a fool? That man, if not for him, will not be here. Because David has 600 soldiers. They protected our entire flock and asset and our herds. Nobody could attack us. In fact, the Bible says they were a wall unto us. Wall. Impenetrable wall. And then the man now says, can I get something small? You say, no, you can't give him. Why would you not give him? Why would you not give him? Just say thank you. Impenetrable wall. So he was angry. Immediately he heard. The Bible says, bam, it became stone cold. What we call stroke today. He had a stroke on the spot. He couldn't move his body anymore. 10 days. On the 10th day, the Bible says, God struck him and he died. God killed him. See, he became a stone. His heart died within him. His heart died. 10 days. Then the Lord killed him. The Lord smote him that he died. And immediately David heard that. You know what David did? Smart man. Sharp man. He sent boys to go and meet that girl. How you doing, babe? I understand your husband is dead. I'm interested in being your husband to continue to protect your assets. The woman said, oh God, before he even say, will you? I said, I do. Abigail did not even think twice. Grabbed her handmaid. Let's go to a good man, I beg, and leave this foolish man that is dead.
David had to marry Abigail. He married Abigail immediately. Praise God. That's a man. Some men are godless and don't give to God and mankind. Project for me quickly. Let me show you the Nabal and Abigail marriage. Project for me Nabal and Abigail marriage. Some men are what? Godless. And they don't give to God and to mankind. Do you notice that the man did not give to God, neither gave to mankind? Charity. Because to give to David is called what? Charity. To just give to people that need, he didn't give to mankind. Didn't give to David, who helped him in making the money. Didn't give to God and his staff. His staff reported him to the wife. Spent the money on himself and pleasures only. He died without taking anything with him. And had David inherited everything. That's a Nabal and Abigail marriage. The second marriage is Samson and Delilah marriage. That is found in Judges chapter 16. This is the marriage where the woman marries for money and fame, not for love. Now, the first one is the man that is worshiping money. In this one, who's worshiping money? Who? The woman loved you, not because you are tall or douce, it's because you have money. Because Samson was paying the bills. And such marriage, the day somebody else brings more money, the woman will do what? Will jump. You are history. If somebody else offers more, she will jump. Go digger. Bless you. Go digger. And as simple as that, I've told you there are different kinds of marriages. There is trophy wife, there is trophy husband. I want to tell them I've caught him. He's the finest guy in town. So let me go marry him. Hey, are you go marry him? Oh yeah, continue. Now you go marry him. Continue. Give me the script, the thing. I want to run it down quickly. Delilah only loves Samson for his wealth, fame, and money. The woman can be bought with a higher price. I'm telling you, sometimes the price is by the boss, by the office. The office is paying 10 times what you are giving. The woman will just say, who are you? The woman will be going to come home and say, okay, look, look, honey, honey, I can't play with my job. Why? They are paying me more than you. How much are you giving me, sir? I work in oil and gas. They just promoted me. And I make $5 million a month. My husband is saying, honey, why are you not home now? Where? So that payment can even be your work. Maybe a man, maybe some, but whatever you do because of money, and you can despise your husband, you can despise your head because of money. You can even sell him. Next, now Samson, faithfulness is money dependent. As long as Samson was paying the bills, she was faithful. Being broke tests the marriage and relationship. That's why you see some marriages go through trial when they're now broke, when the man can no longer pay the bills. Your enemies can steal your wife from you if you marry a Delilah. The Lord will help you. Number three, Ananias and Sapphira marriage. Unity in iniquity. Solidarity in iniquity. This one, husband and wife are believers but not givers. Husband and wife are what? But not. Their confession is without their money. Because you know the story in Acts chapter 5. They both agreed. Have you seen husband and wife agreeing to deceive God? What an agreement. They both sat down. They agreed. Let's go and lie to God. Let's lie to church. Let's lie. Tell them we don't make money. We won't pay our tithe. Let us agree in iniquity. What a horrible agreement. Both of them died. The Holy Ghost killed them both. It's in the Bible. Read it. Acts chapter 5. Project for me quickly. I want to round up. Project. I want to rush this thing because I have little time left. Project for me. Ananias, give me the picture. I want to read the entire thing. Is it there? Okay. They agreed to deceive God and the servants of God. Their end was disastrous and unpleasant. They worshipped money and mammon at the expense of their faith. I don't know which marriage you are practicing here. Are you practicing Nabal and Abigail? Samson and Jezebel? And Delilah? Ananias and Sapphira? Or the last one, Ahab and Jezebel marriage? This is the last one. The marriage where the woman uses witchcraft to buy the husband's love and affection. The other one is different. Delilah is different from Jezebel. Jezebel uses witchcraft. Delilah didn't. Now we need to hide it. You pay, I love. You don't pay, they bring bigger money, no love. You know? But this one is using witchcraft. Do you know what witchcraft is? If you read 1 Kings, the way Delilah died, Jezebel died, you understand it. The Bible says when Jehu came, listen, when Jehu came, the man sent by God to go and kill Jezebel, to come and kill and execute judgment. Listen, everybody. The Bible says Jezebel painted her face. That's why people that are bereft of biblical knowledge think when ladies wear makeup, they are Jezebel. It's not true. It's not true. That's not Jezebel's spirit. That is not Jezebel's spirit. Jezebel's spirit is to use, to change your face, to change your moods, to manipulate people. The word painting of face was done to look differently. So I can wear a moody look. I can wear a sad look. Husband comes back from work. The wife is sitting down. Honey, are you okay? It's okay. She just painted her face. And what's wrong with you? Don't worry, just go. Just go. There's nothing wrong with that. Just go. Just go. Honey, why? Talk to me now. No, no, I know you don't understand. Don't worry. The God will help me. I'm your husband. She just painted her face to wear a different look. Before you came in, she was okay. Oh, if you have CCTV, you see your wife dancing. Husband is coming. She could. Because she wants money. Nancy, what's going on now? Honey, I don't know. Don't worry. I know you won't understand it. Don't worry. Tell me, I understand. It's daddy. And she's like, daddy is, I just got a call. Daddy is very broke. But it's okay. Because I know yesterday she gave me 100,000. 2 weeks ago, I know you are broke. Don't worry. It is well. And you are saying it. The man will say, okay, I'll go and look for money to borrow. Will you borrow? Thank you, my love. I just wondered. She just painted her face to manipulate you momentarily. Women can do it. Men do worse. Men too can be Jezebel. When a man wears a face in a house, the woman is coming on the other hand. Witchcraft. Man and woman can do it. Man and woman can do it. It's not women alone. Only that women do it more than men. But men do it too. And it's when they want to have sex, they will do it. No men. But when they're something, they will. Honey, are you okay? No. It is well. It's just that. You know those Christian phrases? It is well. The Lord is my shepherd. I know now. When did you change shepherd? Why are you not telling me? We both know the Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want. That is what it means to be Jezebel. To paint your face or change your moods or your looks to manipulate something from somebody. That's what Jezebel is. That's what witchcraft is about. Nothing more. The truth is, you know it, you also know it, that you are doing that to manipulate. Can't you be honest? I love Ade Funke Kasali. She knows that that won't work on me. She started years ago, come back from work, she was saying, oh, Remy, go and take Panadol. I was like, oh, you know, they don't care. Well, you know I care. He said, I go and take Panadol. Panadol will help you. I love my wife. She knows I love her. All this, my leg, you go and take Panadol. My leg is paining you. Are you with me? So she just knew that this won't work. So now she tells me as it is. Spirit that, yes, I need some money. What is it that you need? We discuss. We are husband and wife. Let us be open. Tell me what you want. I will see if I can do it. I say, yes. Why do this and do that? Put it like that. They will just kill the joy in the home. Or a man just goes home and the place just goes, bam, silence. What's happening? Before you left home, you are both happy everywhere. Just sad, down, no happiness. I'm wondering, what's going on here? You go to your room, you come out. She goes to the kitchen, come out. You're like, there's a lot of vibes, negative energy in the home. You're wondering, did somebody die? Who stole what? And it's all one of both. It's very easy, both of you are trying to manipulate each other. That one's even worse. When you are bringing your manipulation and she's bringing out, both of you planned it. And you just all met. You both now come home You are thinking that she, you know, she was doing her own. So I'm doing my own turn. No, it's my own turn. And you are going back and forth. And you're saying, who will break the ice? Who will talk now? This is not working. No, she's not seeing my face. So she's saying, this man is not even watching me. I'm trying to tell him that something is wrong. He's not even getting it. Meanwhile, each one to tell you, I want something from you. Manipulator versus manipulator. Equation balance. A house built on witchcraft. God will help them. In that place, God will help them. So stop painting faces. Men and women, stop painting. Be honest with each other. She bewitched her husband with a charm and facial moods. That's the marriage. She stole the land for the husband by killing the owner. That's Jezebel. She buys his affection with gifts without him asking questions. What kind of man is that? You knew that the man said he won't sell you land. Following week, the woman came and said, it's the land. Won't you ask questions? How did you get this land? Why won't you ask? God was so angry with the king. How can you not ask? That marriage is a marriage with weak men and strong women paying the bills. God will help us. I said, God will help us. Okay, write down the following points. I want to close now. 11 points or 12 points. One, biblical perspective on financial management at home. Opale, project for me. Biblical perspective. Number one, don't live above your income. Don't live above your... Be modest in your lifestyle. Philippians 4:6. Let your moderation be made known to all men. Sorry, verse 8, sorry. Let your moderation be made known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Let your mother... Many people are living above their... Trying to come and please one sister in church, one brother in church. They don't say, can't you see? Sister, this hairstyle is different. Well, you buy my own hairstyle for me. Go and borrow money. Go and buy a new wig. You now land into debt. I'm telling you now, don't live above your income. Nobody's asking you to do that. Number two, don't live your dream lifestyle until it becomes a reality. Abraham didn't waste resources until he got to Canaan. Israel didn't live Canaan lifestyle in the wilderness until they got there. I know you have a dream. When it becomes a reality, live that lifestyle. Don't say, I'm living my dream. A young girl came to me and said, I bought a new car. I said, what's that car? But how much are you earning? She just started working like 3 months, 4 months. She took a loan to buy a Jeep. And her mother was still doing Okada. Her father was still doing Okada. They used to come to church. The father and mother were in my church then. Many years ago, not this one. Father and mother. The girl, they have only two children. The girl bought, the only girl working in the family, she bought a big Jeep. The only girl. The brother was still suffering. I said, are you okay? The brother was suffering. I said, you okay? And she took a big loan. Says, my dream. We get there. Live a reality life. You will get there someday. That's why we put pressure on ourselves in marriages. We now start fighting. Start fighting. So please, don't live your dream lifestyle until it becomes reality. Number three, don't steal for a living. Don't from God pay your tithe and from man to fund your lifestyle. Don't steal to fund your lifestyle. Don't steal. Number five, owe no man nothing. Be very wary of piling up debt to support your greed. So many people are in all kinds of debt. Nobody pushed you into it. You just want to be like the Joneses. They are buying this meat I want to buy. You don't have that kind of money. Don't copy and become a copycat. What is wrong with you? That's why we have crisis in marriages. That's why they have financial problems. I'm telling you, these are the answers. Don't copy and look. Thank God for Adefunke Kasali. I love my wife. She didn't put me under any pressure. When we could live in three-bedroom flat, we were there for a long time. When we were broke, there was a time when we were broke. We were living from hand to mouth. Hand to mouth. To pay school fees, we were looking to a scrappy money here and there. Nobody knew. We had one car. She was taking bus to the office. She gave me a car. She would take bus to her office. She gave me a car. Such women, are they still around? She gave me a car. She bought a car before we got married. Now the husband is here. She said, honey, you are my husband. You have to drive the car.
She was not taking bus to walk. Bus, B-U-S, bus, staff bus, those, bus. Are they still in church? I refused. I said, no, I'll be taking her. I will take her to the office in the morning, come back. Go in the evening. She said, no, that I sleep late because I study. She wakes up very early to go to work, 5-6, that she can't stand her husband at 5-6, waking up when I slept at 2. So she will sneak out sometimes to catch a bus. Today, the man will buy the car. The man will take Okada to work. The woman will be at home with the car. I told a couple that was wrong. The man left my church. The woman left my church. The woman left. Because I said, what you are doing to your husband is not right. He's taking Okada. You're not working. You're sitting at home. The man just bought the car. We blessed it. You now say, the man, if you love me, no, the last time, if you love me, you will tell me the whole truth. If you love me, I love you. So he said, if you love me, you give me the car. The man dropped the car at home. She's not working. She said, just in case she wants to go out in the afternoon, should she be going in Okada or bus? That the man will not be taking Okada to work. When I was much younger, they would say, oh, Jeffo. They would say, Jazz. You know, I mean, it doesn't make sense. Oh, I know Jeffo. No, it makes sense. And it's love. It's not there for it. It's just love. Love, one thing, thing. I told them the truth. She got angry. She told her husband, let's leave this church. And they left church. The man came to beg me. Reverend, you know I love the church. But she said, we have to leave at her. That place was our small room. I was in this place downstairs. I said, what's wrong with you? You know, she said, we have to leave. And I enjoyed this church. I said, when I was much younger, they would say what? Walo Jeffo. It means jazz. But me, I don't think it's jazz. I think it's just love, one thing thing. I think so. I don't know. You know, some men, I just love one thing thing. My own wife. She's alive, not dead. Mazda 626. Hey, what? That was a hey. As he's praying. He's praying, God, give me such a wife. The man is all. Is that? Oh, hey, no. I love my brothers. He's praying, give me such a wife. He's such a wife. Buy a car for your wife. Don't take it to the wife. because modern day girls, they won't do it. Modern day church girls, they no go dwan. They no go dwan. I'm telling you. This year, Tolu, the Lord blessed me. I bought her a beautiful car on her birthday. BMW, beautiful. For her birthday. She did that for me years ago. And I told her many more will come as the Lord bless me. 24 years going on. That's how Christian marriage should be. That's how Christian marriage should be. Stop doing money. As if everything is money. You know, next. Quickly. Next. Number, what am I? Are we here now? God will not meet. Let me go to my note. I've done all no man nothing, right? Number 5. God will not meet our greeds, but our needs. Many of you are greedy. Don't build your home on greed. Don't copy people. Take one step at a time. Number 6. Purpose in your heart to give to God and don't be hoodwinked by fake pastors. Number 7. Planning is critical to living a godly life. Not live foolishly in the name of faith. Proverbs 24:27. I like that passage very much. Say we should prepare our life outside, fit it inside before you now go and build your house. Planning. Christians don't know how to plan. Couples, you must plan. Where will our we buy thy work outside?
Then make it fit for thyself how you want your dreams in the field. Afterwards, what do you do? Build an house. So you must have a plan before you now start building. That what prepare means on the outside, but we sit down. This is our plan, no? Before you now start building it, prepare the design. What kind of home? What kind of kids? What kind of school? I get the point. That's why I'm an advocate of living where your church is. For me, oh, I know you don't like it. There's something that must be important in your life. Where do you want to live? Let's have money to fund it. We must not live large lifestyle. How much of our income? I will give you what I wrote here. I wrote something down here to help every Christian couple. You don't have to follow my suggestions. It's there. How to divide your 100% your money after you pay tithe. How much you must put aside for household. How much you must put to reward yourself. I will put it down there because I reward myself. I work hard. I must reward myself. How much you must put to charity. It's there. I'll give it to you now. Tempt them so you can save. How much you must save? Christians don't live hand to mouth. Hand to mouth. Money has caused this crisis. Number 8. Don't compare yourself with other people. Even if you desire their lifestyle, live according to your means. Pastor Pedro, help me tell them. Live according to your means. Don't look at Pastor P and say, he has a big ass. I want to buy a big ass. Do you know how many years he's been working? Do you know when he finished school? You are still in diapers when he was finishing school. What did that be? You want to be boom? More than the boys. They finished school yesterday. They want to build a house tomorrow. They say one pastor did it. One pastor. There are exceptions. You look at generality of people. So when you want to make a decision, that's why Americans use statistics. They say, okay, 2-3% of people sometimes break through at 27, 28. Yes, we know. But 90% of people break through at 40, 45. Why are you not saying 2-3%? If that is your own case, then God will give you a miracle. Don't walk into it. That's why I don't like all these pastors that come and share some terrible testimonies with you. There was a church that brought one pastor, one man to come and speak many years ago. He said, at 13, became a millionaire. So I said, what nonsense. Why are you telling our members and Nigerians to become greedy at 13? How many 13-year-olds can become a millionaire in Nigeria? They're still at home. Maybe inheritance. Okay. No, there's some things you don't do. It's not right. Those little exceptions don't make it the norm or the rule. They're different. Am I right? Don't make it the rule. So people are comparing too much. I'm telling you. That's why they go to some churches. I asked one girl, why do you live in Lekki? She said, Lekki, the area is good. Whenever I'm driving out in the morning and I see houses that are new, it inspires me. That I get inspired. That so, even though I know I don't have Lekki income, I want to show people that I am a Lekki person. A young girl packing debt on her life. She says she wants to show people that I'm a Lekki person. I said, I now have to begin to open to her. How many people don't live in Lekki? They are super successful, multi-millionaires, billionaires. I didn't know. I never knew. See, because you're just moving your life according to Joneses or whatever they call it. People just do things that others are doing. If you can afford a small Corolla, buy it. Don't go and do a Camry and in debt. Don't live above your income. Don't do, I'm begging you. The aim of a car is for mobility. Can that car start? Yes. Can it move you from your house to your office? Yes. Can it move you back? Yes. Buy it. 2019 model Camry 73.2 million. I don't understand how people think. I don't know. I bought several Tokumbo cars and I enjoy them. If you don't like it, if you go out of this place, like Pastor Bakar will say, if you go towards Marina, you go, you see ocean, jump into it. If you don't like it, then I buy Tokumbo, go and jump into the lagoon. It's my own money. I'd like Tokumbo car. Because I cannot go and can't depreciate from the day you buy it. I'm not going to put a lot of money because I want to show you who are you that I'm rich. Does it make sense? I don't do things like that. Don't live for your joy and happiness. You now put pressure on your marriage, pressure on your home to live big. Don't do that. Next. Don't train your children to be covetous. By living a life that is beyond their income. Don't train your children. That was a mistake
Samuel did and Eli. Don't train your children to be covetous. Let your children understand we cannot afford it yet. Let them teach them well. My father trained me well. I told you, he beat us with koboko because we want to go and watch video in our neighbor's house. Say, we can't afford it. Stay in your father's house. Watch TV without video. NTV. Be watching it and enjoy it. When we have video, we'll buy it. Train your children to be covetous. Next, it's important. Be wise like the ants. You must have savings, no matter how small. It takes discipline to develop a savings culture. Christians don't have savings anymore. Be wise as the ant. The Bible says that. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Be wise. Have a savings culture. Save some money. If you have any 50,000, save part of it. Sir, it's not enough. I will tell you how it is enough. I'll tell you now. I'll tell you. I'll give you how you should live your life. It's important. You must work for you to earn, not live off begging as a family man or woman and expect others to carry your burdens. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 15. It says, people should go and work. I've seen some people that prefer to beg. I don't know if you're not shameful. Don't beg. Even if you're just earning 60,000, work. I know I can earn more if I'm begging, but it's wrong. By begging ministry is a fruitful ministry when begging is compassionable. If I get 10 people every month and they give me 5,000, 70,000 a month, why should I work at 15? It's a big church of hundreds of people. I'll just choose, but I earn less today. Sister, I for my next month. I'll be changing it. But I this today. Pastor, I agree today. Sister, Tolu, I agree next month. All my wife, oh, different times, I'll be attacking them to take money from them. But they are working, and you are begging. And you're saying you're a ministry. No, you just attack us. You just keep begging us. I will keep giving 5K, 8K, 7K, 8K. But that guy is taking 8K from 8 people. That's 64,000 that month. It's not any more than you serve. And you're saying you're helping them with 5,000, 8,000. Begging ministry. Finally, you must leave an inheritance for your children, no matter how small. Proverbs 13. Let me tell you the practical steps. This is it, all of you write it down. This is my own suggestion. Number one, pay your tithe every time. How many is tithe? Save for the future. What is it? What is your savings? Why? Joseph's formula. In Genesis 41, you see how Joseph did it. Joseph said the way to live a life, an economy, is to save 20% of our income. When the time of famine comes, we'll have enough. It's Joseph that taught me 20%. Joseph brought 20% aside of the entire revenue for a nation. 20% he put aside. When the time of famine came, they had more than enough to eat, to even feed nations. He said 20%, a fifth. He said one fifth part of the land of Egypt. A fifth, 20%. Go back to my lesson. Go back. So that's why I'm telling you, 20% for your savings. Go back to my slide. Number three is reward yourself. Number three, my slide, please. Reward yourself, that is 10%. Depends on how much you want to give to yourself. Because the Bible says in 1 Timothy 6, verse 17, God has given us all things richly to enjoy. So may I like to enjoy. What I buy shoes, I buy suit, I eat good food. So I spend 10% to reward myself. I buy a new TV, I'm rewarding myself for working. I'm paying myself salary. So I have 10% to reward Abayo Miola Mide Matthew Kasali. Because I'm not working for you alone, I'm working for myself too. So I have to reward myself. Next, bless your house. This is what people argue on. This is where Pastor P, I believe, his husband and wife are doing this. They are married. Okay. 40% of income for your household. This is where housekeeping money is for the wife. Wife bring her own, husband bring his own. They now have enough money in the family to buy food, to buy gari, some put school fees there. Some don't put it there. I put school fees here as asset acquisition. But this is where it's important. That 40% is for the home, if you are a couple. So you can't be putting 80% in the home. So the home now, watch me, the home will now say, this is how much money we have. Everything we buy must be within that income. But what you're not doing is you're trying to now live beyond that particular budget for your household. You now live a life where you're not putting 80% into it, so you don't pay tithe anymore. Because we have so much debt. Number six,
Give to charity. Ephesians 4:20 says you must give to the poor. Create something for the people. That's where offering comes in church. I give offering, I give pledges. I have something I can just give to God, to the poor around us, welfare. I have to give to the poor. Bible says to us in Ephesians 4:28 that we must walk, that we may have to give. So part of the reason we walk is to have ourselves, one, and secondly, to give to the needy. It's there, Ephesians 4:28. Not just to have for yourself, but also give to the needy. It's there. So you can say, oh, let him that stores no more, but rather let him do working with his hands that he may have one to give to him too. The needs. So it's the needy. We must give to the needy. Charity. I love to give to charity. There's nothing wrong with charity. Of course, finally, asset acquisition. You must save to buy a land, to buy a house, to buy a car, to buy something you can call your family assets. You must save. So here you have almost 30% for saving apart from that. So you can't tell me you want to live like this. You'll be living off your income. If your income is 80,000 naira a month, your husband 75,000 naira a month, combine 155,000 naira a month, live, do a timetable like this tonight. You will see you have peace for the next 6 months. So the one that has to with household, if that thing can only buy Indomie and this, eat Indomie and that geisha for a while until your income increases. That's how you live. You live with a budget, with a plan. Fiscal discipline. So that marriages can be at peace and homes, husband and wife can be joyful. And don't hide small money around and say, what about in-laws? Find a way there to squeeze it in. If you want to put on a charity heading, put on a charity, I don't know. Does that make sense? The Lord will help us all. Put your hands together for Jesus. Rise to your feet.
Thank you for listening. Worship with us at Foundation of Truth Assembly Headquarters on 40/42 Imam Dauda Street, off Eric Mosulere, Lagos. God bless you.